Father, you are a mighty God. In reality, you're the only God. All others are false gods. You are the creator, sustainer. You are the sovereign Lord, in charge and in control of everything. And when the world appears to be fallen apart, when we look and hear and see all that is happening around us and we get discouraged, we've forgotten you're a mighty God. Nothing takes you by surprise. Things are not out of control. For if things are out of control, then you are not in control. And we know that that's not true. It shows sometimes our lack of faith, our confidence, and our trust in you and your word. Forgive us for that. Strengthen us. Encourage us. Challenge us. And we'll praise you for what you accomplished this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Wimp. Chicken. Yellow belly. Little girl. What you gonna do? Run home and cry to mama? Sissy. Fighting words, aren't they? Some of you fellas, you felt the blood pressure begin to rise when I started saying those things. But when it comes to our Christian life, when it comes to serving the mighty God, when it comes to following the one that we said we believe in and we will follow and no turning back, then why do we act like wimps? Why are we so yellow belly? Why are we such sissies? Why don't we have the courage? Why don't we take the stand regardless of the bullets ripping by? Questions that need to be asked. And as we've been working our way through 1 Peter, we've been understanding that this is not an easy journey. This is not a piece of cake. This is tough. And all of us are familiar with the book of Job, possibly the oldest book of the Bible, and yet this man had to endure. In fact, to introduce where we're headed in Peter, if you've got your Bibles, go with me to Job chapter 1. Your electronic Bibles or your paper Bible, whatever, but flip there if you can. Because I want us to see something about this guy who did not have a Bible. Learn something about a man who had never read all things work together for good for those who love God who are called according to a purpose. Look at the faith of a man who had never heard Jesus say, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And look at a man who's had to endure things that would have broke us. In Job 1, we begin to read in verse 14. I'm in 1 Peter. I better get to Job. In verse 14, it says, and there came a messenger to Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them and struck down the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. Huge loss. Huge loss. Verse 16. While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, the fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you. Why did God do this? The fire of God fell down and consumed my assets. Verse 17, while he was yet speaking, there came another and said, the Chaldeans formed three groups and made a raid on the camels and took them and struck down the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. Same day, more assets gone, liquidated. Verse 18, while he was yet speaking, there came another and said, your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, and behold, a great wind came across the wilderness, struck the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young people, and they are dead. And I alone have escaped to tell you. Here's a guy, and one day he lost seven sons and three daughters because God sent aloud a wind to blow their house down. Here's a guy that lost his assets. He's been liquidated. He's worth nothing now. How did this happen? How could God allow this? Because we're told right off the bat that this was an upright man. Blameless. He honored God and he stayed away from evil. How could God allow this to happen to a man who has a testimony that shines like this and then in one day strip him of his family? Strip him of his assets. How could this happen? Well, we just back up to verse 9 and we find out. Because we find out there's an enemy, his name is Satan. And he's talking to God. And God says, What do you think? What do you think of Job? I'm pretty proud of him. And Satan says, does Job fear you for no reason? Verse 10. Have you not put a hedge around him and his house and all that he has on every side? You blessed the works of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But you stretch your hand and touch all that he has, and he will curse you to your face. How does Satan know? How can he say such a thing? Is that the general rule? Is that what the majority do? Is he just saying, this is what all of them do? Just look around. You've got lots of folks that call themselves believers in you and trust in you. And as soon as I touch them, what do? Is that the general rule? Is that why Satan says what he says? I don't know. But the question is asked. Is the general rule true for me? Would Satan be correct if he was talking to God about me? And Job, in his faith, as his world was turned upside down, he said, though he slay me, yet I will hope in him. Life's tough. And following Christ isn't easy. And maybe that's why Jesus said, now listen, before you make this decision, you have to understand, I don't even have a place to lay my head. And everyone who follows me needs to be willing to pick up his cross, suffer, suffer, and follow me. And we have just sung a song that says, I will follow Jesus. That Christ is enough. And we've just heard special music that told us that we serve such a mighty God. And yet, our faith isn't often what it ought to be. I have to admit that Brenda and I, we're going on 36 years now of becoming a Christian. We weren't brought up in the church, so we didn't have that background. And when we come to know Christ as our Lord and Savior, and then shortly after that, I felt the call to ministry, and so I left everything behind to follow him. We've been on this journey for 36 years, and it's not been easy. I can tell you story after story after story, but you have stories. Things we struggle with, trying to make ends meet, trying to raise 8 children. At 42, I was diagnosed with sudden death syndrome, and we just had 4 miscarriages, and you wonder. 36 years of troubles, struggles, trials, difficulties. And through the years, I've tried to learn to just roll with the punches. In fact, when I was leading Bancroft and the director there at camp, and I just reminded the staff, listen, things never go as smoothly as you want them to go. Things don't always go. There's always things that take place that change things. Roll with the punches. That's what you've got to learn to do. Because things don't always often work out the way we thought or hoped or dreamed or planned. A year ago, you were thinking about asking this strange guy down in Tennessee area to become your pastor. And a strange guy was wondering whether he wanted to take the big step and become your pastor. And as I evaluated things, I thought, well, we can. In fact, when the search committee was asking me about our financial situation, I said, well, we're kind of hoping to be almost debt-free when we're there. Plan was sell our house, downsize, eliminate debt. We took the step of faith, and carrying 2 mortgages. So we evaluate these things. Ah, must not have been God's will. Is that how we do it? I mean, the moment trials and tribulation and hardships and difficulties come, we begin to wonder and question. Is that the biblical thing to do? Well, take your Bibles and go with me to 1 Peter chapter 4. And what I want us to see this morning, that our faith in this mighty God and his sovereignty, his control, that our faith in him is not to fluctuate like the stock market with every negative and positive influence. Our faith needs to be moving forward. It's easy to say, I believe. And so does Satan. So do his demons. And they tremble. That's how much faith they have. But we need to have a faith that is strong. So in 1 Peter chapter 4 is where we are in our study. We've come to verse 12, and in this we find, he says, beloved, do not be surprised. Now, what's happening here, they're enduring some things. They're enduring some hardships and some difficulty and some persecution has broke out. But what they don't know is that in about 2 years, Nero is going to torch Rome. And even though the populace understand that Nero did it, he blames it on Christians who are already hated in their culture and their society. They are the segment of the culture that is despised. And so Nero puts the blame on the already hated Christians. And so greater persecution, greater hatred takes place. And Nero himself begins to persecute the Christians. And to help entertain his parties, he would arrest believers and use them as live human torches in his gardens. He would take Christians and sew them up in an animal skin and let them be ripped to pieces by wild animals. And so, in a sense, what Peter is writing here, he doesn't say it because he doesn't know it. But what he could be saying is, if you think it's bad now, you just wait. If you think it's bad right now, you just wait. Of course, Peter's put to death. The Apostle Paul's put to death. But you notice he says, don't be surprised when these trials come. Don't. There's a reason for them. There's a reason why God allowed the wind to blow the house down and take all of Job's children. There was a reason why he allowed Job to lose all his assets. Did Job understand? Did he know what was going on? Did he understand the spiritual battle that was behind it all? He had no clue. No clue. He felt like he ought to know. In fact, if you read the whole book of Job, God finally comes to him because Job kind of wants to know why. And so God says, oh, okay. Where were you when I formed this earth? And he begins to ask him all kinds of questions that are completely out of his realm. And Job said, I'm sorry. I have no business questioning you. And so Peter, writing to these believers who are really finding it difficult, he said, beloved, don't be surprised. And notice what he says. He said, do not be surprised at the fiery trials when it comes upon you to test you. As though some strange things happened. To test you. To try you. See what you're made of. See what your faith really is. Well, there's different things. There's those trials that come just because of life. I mean, hearing Janie share, I've had a chance to talk with a number of you and to hear some of your stories and things that you've dealt with and gone through. Life. And then there can be those disciplinary things that God does because there are things in our life that shouldn't be there. And so he begins to pry and pull and hurt to try to bring us to our knees to where we give up these foolish things and to love him as we're supposed to and serve him as he desires and to glorify him in all that we do. And then there are just those situations where people don't like you because of who you are. Because of what you say you believe and the God you serve. Welcome to life. And so Peter says, brethren, listen. I don't know why this is taking you by surprise. Have you not read what our Savior taught? Did he find life in this life or easy? Have any of us apostles found life easy? So why do you think it's such a strange thing when God allows a little trying to take place in your life, brings a little hardship, brings a little difficulty, brings a little pain? No, it's not fun. And yet James has the audacity to say, I'm sure he fell off a boat or something, hit his head real hard on a buoy, I don't know, but he said, count it all joy. Count it all joy when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing, remember Peter? Don't be surprised when these fiery trials come, as though some strange thing, because God is seeing what you're made of. Because he wants you to be more like his son. He's trying to bring maturity. And that's what Peter is saying here. Don't count it pure joy when these various trials come, testing your faith. It produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect or mature, complete, lacking nothing. That's what God's trying to do in your life, in my life. Yeah, we want it all to be easy. We want it to be clean sailing, smooth sailing, no difficulties. That's not life. It will continue on here, but if God went to the expense that he went to save me, and he saved me because he could not accept me as I was, sinful. And if he decided to be fair, he would have sent me to hell and every one of you to hell, because we do not deserve his goodness. We do not deserve his grace. We do not deserve anything. And yet he granted it all and gave it all. And yet our faith seems so fragile. Well, let's continue on, Peter says. He said, have no fear of them, in the last part of verse 14, nor be troubled. Don't let these things get to you. Roll with the punches. There's a plan, there's a purpose. You don't understand it, but accept it and roll with the punches. Stay true, stay strong, and shine in the midst of the darkness. Verse 15. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you. How do you do it? How do you do it? I've been watching you. These trials have come. Life's not been easy. You look out there and people that are out there living in all kinds of sin and immorality and stuff, and they're enjoying life, and here you are trying to do your best, trying to honor God, trying to serve him. He allows all these things. How is it that you still have a smile on your face? How is it that you can keep your chin up and keep going? How is it that you can endure this unfair treatment that they've been giving you at work? How is it that you can stay kind and gentle to people who abuse you and mock you and ridicule you and pray all types of harm fall on you? How is it that you can stay gentle and kind? And so Peter says, when they ask you, he just tell them, listen, there's only one purpose I have in life, and that's to honor and to glorify the God that saved me. And this life is like a vapor. We're here for a moment, and we're gone, and then we walk into eternity, and there will be no more pain, no more suffering, and I want to hear him say, well done. So Peter says, you just keep going. In verse 16, he says, having a good conscience, so that when they slander, when you are slandered, and those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. You see, the moment you respond in an ungodly way, because they're wrong and you're right, you've lost. You've lost. The very moment you put your foot down and say, enough is enough, let me tell you, let me give you a piece of my mind, they smile. Because they got you. Because your God isn't so mighty, is he? You don't believe all things work together for good, do you? Because you just lost your cool. Because you thought you needed to take things into your own hands and settle this thing. Peter says, you live in such a way that when people start talking about you and ridiculing you and spreading stuff about you, you live in such a way that if they take the time to dig a little bit, they find out their lies. How do you do that? I mean, life's tough. And then he goes on in verse 17, it's better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will. Sometimes it is, folks. Sometimes it is. There's a plan. There's a purpose. There's a reason. And you just got to trust him. You just got to trust him. So sometimes it's God's will. In verse 18, he says, for Christ also suffered once for sins and the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. In which he went and proclaimed to the spirits. Whoa. I'm in chapter 3. How come somebody hasn't stopped me? I'm in chapter 3. All right, back to chapter 4. Hank said, what Bible are you carrying, buddy? All right, let's back to the text. Verse 12, beloved, do not be surprised by your trials that come to you. All right. Verse 14, if you're insulted for the name of Christ, you're blessed because the spirit of glory, Christ of God, rests on you. Now, isn't that interesting that I was in 3, we're in 4, talking the same thing. And so he says, if these trials are upon you, God's with you. But then in verse 15, he says, but let none of you, not one of you, whoever you are, if you're his child, let not one of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler. Say, whoo, he's only listed 4. I can do this. I can do this. Yeah, he's only listed 4. But he went to the ultimate, to a murderer. That's about the worst, isn't it? I mean, that's about where that's the top. And then he tracks it down to here. And it's a busybody. Somebody that enjoys getting into the business of somebody else. Somebody likes to just meddle and make trouble and find a little secret and spread a little gossip and turn things around and run somebody into the ground and make themselves look good while they... I mean, that's what Peter has done here. He has taken the ultimate worst to what we would say, no big deal, no big deal. And he's writing to believers and he's saying, listen, I don't want one of you ever to be accused and have to suffer because you're a murderer. And we say, yeah, I can handle that. But I think he's including all this stuff down here. And he says, I don't want you to ever be accused and suffer as being a meddler, prying into somebody else's business. He's covered it all, hasn't he? He's covered it all. Yeah, you know, a few weeks ago, there was a church that got fired upon. A guy came in and started shooting people. And somebody asked me if that happened to here, you know, what would we do? And I said, I bet you'd be surprised how many concealed weapons are no longer concealed. And yet we can know, without beyond a shadow of a doubt, that we have individuals that are meddlers, prying into other people's business, and we do nothing about it. And Peter makes it clear, sin is sin. Sin is sin. And he says, I don't want any of you to ever be accused and have to suffer because you're living in sin. There's no glory in that. You get what you deserve. Sin has consequences. Don't be like that. And so in verse 16, he says, yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. But let him glorify God in that name. He says, don't be ashamed. Folks, listen. Life's not fair. Hardships come. I wish there were answers for everything, but there aren't. And when trials come, whether they be persecution because we're believers, we're trying to live a good life, we're trying to honor and glorify God, and yet we're being hated, we're being persecuted, we're being restricted. You shine. Don't be ashamed. Maybe God is dealing with your life and pointing things out and trying to use hardships to bring you to a spot where you finally give in and give up and say, all right, Lord, I'm yours. You go through those trials honoring him and glorifying him, and you're not ashamed. Not ashamed. Joshua said, listen, folks, in his leadership, he was going off the scene. He says, there comes a time in our lives when every one of us has to make the decision. Is Christ enough? Is he enough? We sang it. But if I walk out of here and my world falls apart, is Christ enough? The decision that we made to say, Lord, I can't believe you would save me and forgive me and make me your child, but I will follow you. No turning back for me, Lord. Is that true? We serve a mighty God. He is in control. He does know what he's doing. He does have a plan and a purpose, even though we don't have a clue. He does. And we need to shine for him. And we need to decide. And Paul always reminds us that the suffering is a whole lot less than the glory that's to be revealed. In fact, he says, I consider that the suffering of this present time, they're not worthy to be compared to what lies ahead. And so we roll with the punches. We stay true. We stay strong. We're not wimps. We're not sissies. We're not little girls that are going to have to run home and cry to mama. We're going to stay the course. Our bellies aren't yellow. we meant business when we come to know Christ. And we're going to follow him. And we're going to serve him. Stay the course, folks. Stay the course. Some of you are going through some difficulties right now. Some of you have gone through some really tough ones. And more of us are going to go through more tomorrow. And Peter says, listen, that's not something strange that's happened. God has a plan. Yeah, he may be allowing some testing to take place to refine you, to mature you, to bring you closer to him, to get you to realize that this life is nothing. This is not my home. So stay the course. Don't give up. Don't give in. Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? If God be for us, who can be against us? Would you bow your heads? All heads bowed and all eyes closed as the praise band works their way up. How's your faith? Maybe it's time to just talk to God and say, God, I'm sorry. I want to shine for you. I want to glorify you in the trials and the tribulations, the hardships. I've been such a wimp. I've been such a coward. I've been ashamed. Forgive me. I want to leave these doors a man of God, a strong woman of faith. I want to shine for you tomorrow, regardless of what happens. Ask him to work in your life. If you're here this morning, you don't know Christ, then you don't have that hope. I didn't get to the verse that talked about if judgment begins with us, believers, can you imagine the judgment that the unbelievers are going to have to endure? It's horrible. Eternity separated from God. And so if you're here this morning, you don't know him. I didn't get to the verse. You can read it later, but you need him. You need to be forgiven. You need to have that relationship with him. And if I can be of any help, I would love to talk with you. Father, we've read a passage that has reminded us the importance of staying true and faithful to you in life when it just doesn't make sense. When the fiery trials come our way, our lives are turned upside down, our hopes have been dashed, we need to shine. We need to stay confident and true to you so that when people look at us, they say, how do you do it? And then we can point them to you that they may have the same hope that we have. This is not our home. And one day this will be over with. And we look forward to spending eternity with you. No more struggles, no more pain, and spending eternity with the one who made it possible for us to be there. Father, if there be someone here that needs to talk, I'll be here in the front if they would like to talk with me. I'm available. Just to have them. Not to be ashamed to call me or fear me. I'd love to sit down with as many as possible. And there are others here that would do exactly the same thing. Help us to be a body that encourages each one to keep on keeping on. For your glory, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.